It's Nick Johnstone, senior reporter for EG. I'm here with David Partridge from Argent. We're talking about what the future holds for Argent today. We've just had a very interesting tour around the King's Cross Partnerships regeneration site. And let's deal with King's Cross for a moment. We're standing in, I think it's called Pancras Square.
It is indeed.
And we've got Universal Music's new headquarters here. I think it's 130,000 square feet. And I think not too far away from us here is the piece of land that Google will be taking a million square feet in.
Yep.
What's the timeline with Google's building? Can you talk me through
that? Well, the Google site is just bang opposite here, us here on the boulevard, which runs up the side of Pancras Square. The planning application for that has been submitted. It's a new design by Big Heatherwick, Bjarke Ingels and Thomas Heatherwick group working together. I think that goes to committee either at the end of August or early September from memory, so very, very soon. The intention is that they're already doing some enabling works now. They will be on site with full packages of substructures and underground works as soon as we hope, touch wood, that the detailed the reserve matters planning application is approved.
So sometime next year?
No, at the end of this year.
Right,
so,
okay.
So October, November, we'll be on site with real construction activity happening in the ground at long last, and we're looking forward to it. The other side of Pancras Square is actually a building that Google occupy now. They took, if you remember, the old BNP, what was the BNP Paribas space they were initially planning on moving in there. So we've got them in this building here, which is number 6 Pancras Square. And we are also building another building for them up on Handyside Street. So that's another 175,000 square feet. So in total, we're expecting around 6 or 7,000 Googlers here, either already in residence in about a year's time when we finish in on Handyside Street, or by about 2021, 2022 when they move into their own UK HQ, which we're building for them on the other side of the boulevard.
We just walked past it, the Handyside building.
Yes.
Is right next to the Coal Drops Yards.
Yes.
What's going on with Coal Drops Yard? Is it a listed?
It's listed.
Listed.
I mean, a lot of the stuff around there, the old granary building is listed. Yeah. Obviously, Fish and Coal building are listed. So it's the last of the big Victorian heritage buildings which we've been taking on. Right next there's the gas holders building, which is an amazing scheme by Wilkinson Air, which is nearly finished now. That completes in the autumn. Coal Drops Yard is actually the last major piece of the jigsaw for us here at King's Cross. We feel that we've pretty well cracked the commercial market in terms of making it a destination for people to come and work. In terms of the residential market, people are obviously coming and living here now. We've obviously got the university in place, the Aga Khan. We're going to be moving their university here soon. So on the kind of everything to do with food and drink and restaurants and leisure and education, everything. The bit that we're only beginning to scratch the surface of now is the retail piece. So up the boulevard itself, we've got Nike, and we've just announced and other stories coming here in Jigsaw. But the Coal Drops Yard is the kind of right, the real jewel in the crown. It's around about 120,000 square feet in total, 80 units. An amazing design by Thomas Heatherwick again, actually, where he's taken this incredible structure across the roof of the Coal Drops, using the old roof and bending it round to create a brand new destination space in the middle of it. And we're well on our way with the construction of that. We're going to be complete in terms of the base build around about March next year, and then about 6 months of fit out. And we're just in the process of finalising the first major lettings, which we should hopefully be announcing in the next week or two.
You can't give us the name just yet.
I certainly can't. No.
Okay. Thought it was worth a try. Okay. What about your relationship with Related? How's that going? Is it easy to kind of your previous structure has been around King's Cross, a partnership with LCR and Hermes.
Yeah.
You've got quite a different kind of corporate structure now, where you're having to kind of go to Related as an investor to kind of draw down funds. And how does that all work?
Well, first of all, the projects that you mentioned, Brent Cross and Tottenham, are all being done in the new Argent Related partnership. And when you say it's a different structure, it isn't really. I mean, when we were part of the BT pension scheme group, we were at one stage a wholly owned subsidiary there, so they were our major investor, and they were, in fact, they owned Argent through from 1997 through to 2012. So, like any great, you know, big developer, especially ones who want to take on large-scale schemes like this, we have to be sure that we have got investors and partners who understand what we're doing, who are prepared to be patient enough to work with us during the course of those early incubation stages. I said, you know, 7 or 8 years to get King's Cross going, 4, 5, 6 years to get Brent Cross going. So from that point of view, having Related on board with us as a partner, actually as a developer as well as an investor, is actually, yes, they're a source of funds and they have a huge balance sheet which they can put down if necessary for major, major infrastructure projects and in order to be able to back the work that we're doing. But it's no different, in a sense, from the days when we were talking to the board of, you know, BT Pension Scheme Hermes in terms of taking stuff.
I know from having spoken to
forward.
Sorry, I know from having spoken to a few people that it's actually quite hard to kind of get money out of Related. You know,
that's not true. No. We also put money up ourselves. You know, it is a partnership whereby once we agree on a scheme, which we do, once we have a business plan adopted for that scheme, we just get on with it. And if we need the money on a monthly basis, we phone it up and say, is it in the budget? The money comes through and away we go. And that's, I mean, in terms of the total commitment they're making to Argent Related and to London, when you add up the incubation of the projects that we're doing over this last year and the next year, it comes to a very significant sum which they're putting into, without putting a spade into the ground yet. And of course, we've also got Euston still to come, which is the one that we're
at the moment. Brings me on to my next question. You've obviously made the shortlist alongside, I think, Westfield, Canary Wharf, Lendlease, and Land Securities. For the Euston redevelopment.
Yeah.
You've got a partnership with Sydney and London?
Yes, so basically Related have a partnership with Sydney and London,
yeah.
And Argent Related have effectively joined that partnership with Sydney and London. It's called the Euston Regeneration Partnership. And that is the vehicle which we're using to bid for the master development partner opportunity there.
For those who don't know what Sydney and London is, it's
Sydney and London owned the Euston Estate, the buildings at the front of Euston Station, so the big black ones, the Grant Thornton building and the Network Rail building. And they've owned that for about, I think, 10 years or so. So they've been long-term investors in the Euston area. So the partnership that Related formed with them, which actually predates the Argent Related partnership when they first came over here, you've got to remember these guys are the people who built our building, Hudson Yards, in New York, and that has been an absolute game changer in terms of what's happened to the whole of the geography of New York and Manhattan, and shifting people over to the West Side, over to areas where, you know, occupiers would never go, and now they've got the likes of Wells Fargo, they've got Black. Never get it right, whether it's Rock or Stone, but it's one of those guys that are over there as well, you know. So they've been able to, you know, really invest heavily in building over railway lines, which is kind of handy for Euston, so they've got a huge experience in that, and bringing major global capital to bear on these kinds of opportunities, which is exactly why we wanted to be with people as a partner, to have them with Argent, with our experience and track record here at King's Cross, our relationships with Camden and the local authority around here, and with the rail authorities. Let's face it, we're right next to HS1. This is on top of HS2. We're hoping that will be, you know, quite a compelling kind of combination of people to bid for that.
Yeah, I mean, what feedback are you getting at the moment? Is it viewed by the likes of Landsex and Canary Wharf that you've got kind of an unfair advantage,
no.
Or how does
I don't
that
think
actually
they'd
work
say
in
that.
Practice?
I think they'd say that they were, they were going to win it on their own merits, and I'm sure they would. I mean, they've all got huge experience, huge balance sheets of their own.
Presumably, they'll have
they've
to do a deal with Sydney
experience.
And London.
No. I think what happens there is that actually the land is as part of the. It's all going to get compulsory purchased, I think, is the way that I understand it.
But not if you end up developing it.
No, where the bid is entirely on the basis that the land is completely owned by the Secretary of State. And so
it is CPO.
Yes, I think as part of the bill.
So what does your partnership the bill with Sydney and London actually constitute then, if it's going to get CPO'd anyway?
Well, it's the opportunity to come back and develop it together and create the brand new Euston Estate. So that's effectively we're going in completely on the same level playing field as every other.
I'm still trying to work out what the advantage is of the Sydney and London element.
When Related first joined up with Sydney and London, which was about 5 years ago, the whole CPO process hadn't happened. And I think the original plan, again, as I say, this predates Argent getting involved, was that there may be an opportunity to be able to throw the land into the partnership one way or another and establish a relationship direct with HS2 as a result, you know, on that basis. I think it became very clear that there was no way that anyone, landowner or not, was going to get any preferential treatment there. And so the hybrid bill that went through and was passed for the phase one of HS2 effectively took the power to purchase the land up in, you know, everywhere along the entire railway line, including Euston. And so that land holding, in a sense, gives us no advantage or disadvantage, frankly, other than a partner who's been invested in the area for a long time and has a huge influence on, you know, on what's been, you know, going on around there, which we see as a huge asset for us.
One of the things about Argent is that you have had a real upturn in the amount of work that you've taken on. I mean, Brent Cross is a huge scheme. Tottenham Hale is not insignificant. What do you do as someone who leads the company to ensure that that kind of quality remains?
That's a very good question. First of all, we need to look, as you know, as a leader of an organisation of that size and doing the sorts of projects that we're doing, we need to be looking really far ahead. So if you think, we took on King's Cross initially back in 2000, we didn't actually put a spade in the ground until 2007, 2008. So the work that you just talked about, the schemes that we've run up at Brent Cross and Tottenham, are schemes that are probably not going to start on site for about 12 to 18 months. We started looking at them 2 years ago, so the gestation incubation period of about 4 or 5 years involves a lot of upfront thinking, which is similar to the early thinking that we were doing during the sort of 2000 noughties and, you know, before we really got on site. So by the time, if you think that King's Cross has probably got about another 5 or 6 years to run in terms of actual construction activity, we're peaking, as I say, at around about 350 to 400 million per annum now. That will tail off over the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years. And the team that will be coming off that construction activity will be just ready to get going on the new work that we're building, getting ready for at Brent Cross and in Tottenham. So I'm hoping for a very smooth transition of people moving from activity here into new projects as they come on stream.
Okay, David, well, thank you very much for talking. I really appreciate it.
It's a great pleasure, and I'm very glad it hasn't rained on us, so we've timed
it perfectly.
Indeed,
just got away with it. Right, thanks.
Thank you.